Hitting the record button. Light is green.
No! Get those words!
Good morning, everybody. How many people just watch that opening just for that and go, all right, I don't really want to talk to these. I don't want to really want to see these two yahoos talking. But that intro, that's pretty fun. Welcome to Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day on all the automotive enthusiast auction sites, including Bring a Trailer, Rad for Sale, P Car Market, Cars and Bids, some other auction sites every now and then. A lot of them keep popping up. Yeah, my name is John Polnick. I'm your host. I'm coming to you from live. We are coming to you live from Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Strip. My partner is in foggy California, dude, and there's San Francisco. What's up, Michael?
It's wet outside. Like I won't wear shoes to the dog park because you'll just get your shoes and socks wet. So I wear flip-flops, and then I come home and dry my feet off. It's just... this whole weekend has been awful, and yet if you go across any bridge or through a tunnel to get out of this town, it's 100 degrees outside. And as soon as this show is over, despite starting late, I think Esther and I are going to go to the lake. And I'm going to sunburn tomorrow on the show. And you wouldn't believe it. If you looked outside my window, it is gloomy. You can't see three blocks across the street. It's like that foggy. You can't. There's no visibility. It's terrible.
That's San Francisco for you. And yep. I wish, you know, honestly, I wish we were there right now because it is crazy hot in Las Vegas like it is just about everywhere else. But that said, we're going to be there on July 10th at Radwood. Radwood is returning to the Bay Area. It's the first Radwood since everything was closed down. And we are super stoked to be there, be part of it. We're going to do a live broadcast from Radwood.
For the duration, basically, right? Like most of the day we'll be pipeless by the end of the day?
Yeah, at least a couple of hours. I mean, we'll get there, we'll set up, we'll jibber jab with some people, and we'll go live and we'll see who wants to hang out. I think they have some auctions closing that day. I don't know what's going on exactly, but we'll try to be, we're going to be a part of it. We're going to bring you live coverage of Radwood in, where's it at? San Mateo.
Yeah, San Mateo.
It's the Bay Area for those of you who are not in the Bay Area. It's just south of the city. But yeah, we're super excited to be there. So thanks, Lane and Warren and Art, for including us in Radwood. We're going to have some cool cars there in our little booth area. That'll be debut of the Maserati.
What are we going to wear? We've got the pop tent and the microphones and the speakers and the cars. What are we wearing, dude? Leather pants? I thought we were going to
I'm wearing leather pants. I don't know what you're wearing, but I have a very specific plan. I already bought the leather pants. And let me tell you, as a He's not serious. Tall person, it's very difficult to find leather pants because pants in general are hard for me to find because they're, you know, I'm wide and short. And so they're always way too damn long. So I buy these leather pants and you know, leather pants never fit. So I gotta go to some guy, literally Habib's tailor, in Las Vegas. That's what it's called.
I'm probably related to him. Yeah.
You know, so we go in there and, Habib looks at me, he's like, impossible. You know, I'm like, I even told you what I want to do. You know, he saw the pants. Yeah. He thought I wanted them like made narrower or short. I'm like, no, they're too short. He's like, oh yeah, we can do. I'm like, impossible, dude? But anyway, so my pants are being shortened. They are leather and I'm excited to debut them.
You were going down the thing where they took so much off the bottom of the legs that you made over the elbow gloves for Rochelle.
Oh man, you could make pants for Rochelle with all the extra there. I mean, anyone else wearing these, they'd be shorts, you know. But I'm, who's got a pair of leather, cargo pants? Yeah,
Lederhosen. Yeah, Lederhosen.
I'm pretty excited about it. We can talk about our. I mean, have you guys planned your costume for Radwood? If you go to Radwood, you got to have an outfit. It's not just the car. You got to go there and show up, man. In fact, I have my really cool jean jacket with the spiked shoulders, and it's got the original Radwood t-shirt sewn into it.
Oh my goodness.
But I'm not wearing that. So if someone wants to rock that, reach out to me. It won Radwood.
Esther might want to wear that. Esther might like to wear that. That'd be really funny. Yeah.
She okay.
Looked like she's, going steady with a sophomore, you know?
Yeah. Is her hair going to be 14 feet high?
I really hope so. Even if she has to work that night, I hope she comes down during the day with her hair teased or crimped to the moon.
Teased the hell out of it, yeah.
We went to Spain, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. We took a really nice vacation. We were in Europe. I bought a pair of, faded blue jeans that have what is essentially a contemporary acid wash to them. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to wear those. And then maybe, I should go online and start seeing if I can find a size 11 high top Velcro Reebok. And I think that would be pretty cool. And then I'll figure out, I'll cut the sleeves off a printed t-shirt, like a Banana Republic t-shirt with no sleeves, and that'd be pretty period correct. Some aviators or some Wayfarers, and we're good to go.
It's hard to find acid wash jeans. I mean, the contemporary ones don't really, they just don't look right. They just don't have, do you remember Galactic Wash? That was a thing.
They tried to do
that right after acid wash, and it just didn't take off. But
I
was the only guy that bought all the Galactic Wash from JCPenney. All right, moving on to the cars. What we do here on this show is we narrow down all the interesting cars on all these auction sites, so you don't have to. We just bring you the most interesting ones. We nerd out on those cars, and then we make predictions as to what we think those cars will sell for.
Dude, you had a day yesterday.
I did, and we always start the show off by going over yesterday's predictions. I did.
Can we just skip it? You won.
Pretty well.
I give in. The week is almost over after what you did to me yesterday. Jesus.
Man, have we ever had a sweep? Has anyone ever gotten all five?
Once. I actually think I swept you one time, but I wouldn't be surprised if you swept me. I just feel like I always get one weird one at the end.
Yeah, it is always funny because it does always seem like it's the last one.
Yeah, the last lot to close, right? Yeah.
You watch a person, I got it. Oh, I got that one too. Oh, I got that one. I'm going to sweep. And then it's never starts off with someone else and then four of the others. Anyways, so the cars yesterday, let's talk about yesterday's cars. But before we do that, make sure you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button. And then go over, while you're at it too, we're going to talk about a bunch of cars. Deeb over there saying smash that like button because he's a millennial. Go over to Bring a Trailer and P Car Market and Rad for Sale, and on the auctions that we talk about, go down to the comments below and say you heard about the car on Bid Nerds. That's how we grow the herd. We need to grow the nerd.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We need to take over the interweb. So get out there and let people know that Bid Nerds is a thing.
Grow a pair of tennis balls.
Yeah. Power to the nerds. He's talking about these. We will be giving away these little Bid Nerd stickers. The tennis balls, as we like to call them. At
Radwood.
Yeah.
That'll
sure.
be fun.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So yesterday we started off with, one
the
of
GT2,
the most awesome cars ever. Yeah. Oh, I mean, a GT2. Yeah. Jeez. Not just
super
any
nice
GT2.
Car,
But a 996 GT2. Holy free.
Yeah. Check this thing out. JP, this car had, 3,000, 5,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Really,
it was really low miles.
5,000, yeah.
Very nicely appointed car. So it's black on black. It's a Metzger engine. It's rear wheel drive. It's got the 6-speed. It has the adaptive sports seats. It has the ceramic brakes. That stuff's all standard. But this guy ordered this with a carbon fiber interior package. He also checked the box for carbon door sills, which is really nice. That kind of completes the look. And then he went with yellow pick stitching and yellow seat belts to match his yellow ceramic brakes. This is a really nicely appointed car. And it's in basically brand spanking new condition with just 5,000 miles. 996s are on the move. GT2s were ironically the last one to start to budge. But you and I joked about the idea that a $187,000 car when it was new almost 20 years ago, are they bringing sticker? And the answer to that is no. There is no evidence to support that a GT2 is worth its original MSRP. But you said astutely, if a car was going to do it, it might be this one now, on this platform, in this condition, in this colorway, and in this market this summer. JP, I said 165, betting the history and the platform. That is a little inconsistent. You went and took the over at 170, and our car sold for $183,000, which is $4,000 short of MSRP. That is an astounding result. And congratulations to the consigner. Congratulations to the buyer. Congratulations to the platform. And congratulations to you, because you won that one. What do you think of that result, man? Did that surprise you? I didn't really surprise me, even though I bet against it. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised by that result.
Yeah, I don't think surprise is something that you can put in your look, the way Porsches are selling on, you know, P-Car Market and on BAT, they're just all going for bonkers money. It's just nuts. So this car definitely if any of them was going to pull that big money, this would be the one. And would it have gotten more money on BAT? I don't know.
Perhaps.
At this point.
Maybe, perhaps, but you know? But not guaranteed. Yeah, not guaranteed. I mean, look, when Lance started Stratus, one of his advisors, a good friend of his, said, look, if you bring the nice car to market, the buyers will find it no matter where you are. I don't know that that was true. Like, if there's a really nice car on Collectors Exchange, nobody's seen it. If there's a really nice car on Hemmings, as big as they are, I don't know that everybody's seen it. MB Marketplace, who are they? We've been doing a show for 9 months. We didn't even know about them, you know? Yeah. But if a car comes to P-Car Market, I feel like, by and large, the market can see it. And that's a huge compliment. And so, you know, we wonder if Doug DeMiro will get to there. We wonder if Doug DeMiro will ever have the real inventory that P-Car Market is having. I mean, you and I would take almost any car P-Car Market sells because they have so many cool cars. The other thing that's really interesting, JP, you may not have noticed this, but, you know, I always try to read ahead. P-Car Market has another authentic singer on their thing. Imagine that they are going to offer three singers in a span of, like, you know, 2 months. I mean, that is crazy. The big, what is it? RM Sotheby's hasn't run three singers yet. And P-Car Market's going to run three this summer. That's crazy. Yeah. That's impressive. They're relevant. They are absolutely relevant, and it's time to tip that. We pick on them, but it's because we wish we were them. I tip that, man. They're doing it.
Whether it's by design or happy accident, it seems like they started out with just Porsches, and then at some point they said, "All right, well, we'll add one or two, or maybe every now and then we'll have some other kind of car." But what they did when they added other cars is they were very selective. It's like, "All right, you have BMW E30 M3, yeah, we'll carry that. Oh, you have a gated shifter Ferrari of some sort, yeah, we'll carry that." There's no Audi RS, you know, sixes on here, or no stupid, you know, and that's the thing. Cars and Bids will just allow anything, and so it doesn't make them selective, and that's why I think Cars and Bids is just going to continue to be this platform where you can sell a contemporary, nice, kind of cool sort of enthusiast car, or maybe something weird like a Chrysler LeBaron or something, but it's never going to be the place for where you're going to get top dollar for something like a 996 GT2. People just aren't looking there for that, whereas on P-Car Market, that's all they're looking for.
Imagine, I want to use your analogy for a second with P-Car Market, and imagine the email exchange. It's like, "Hey man, will you guys sell my 1975 Datsun?" And they're like, "Fuck you, no way." And they're like, "No, please, it's a really nice one." And they're like, "No, we don't do that shit. We're P-Car Market. We only sell really cool cars." And they're like, "Yeah, but my Datsun looks like a Ferrari 250 GTO. And they're like, "Oh, we got you, bro. Don't worry. 50 grand large."
Our boys on P-Car Market.
I know the perfect guy for that car. Here, give it to me. We'll sell that.
They're on Long Island, man. I mean, if there's a market
for a
fake Ferrari, that's
hilarious. Yeah. Oh, it looks like a 250 GTO. Oh, yeah, we got you. Don't worry, man. Yeah.
I still, for the life of me, can't figure that one out, because every other car they have is always really nice. That one, not so much.
Oh, my God. That was so funny.
That was hilarious.
All right. Check it out, JP. We also had, what did we look at? Oh, let's go to the Peugeot.
Okay.
The Peugeot, unfortunately, didn't have the furious finish that I thought. I said $9,000 on our MI16 with 150,000 miles on it. Nicest one, and perhaps the only one to come to a relevant marketplace in the last, let's call it, maybe 10 years. Mm-hmm. You said $8,000, and you also said, look, I think it's on Cars and Bids, right? You were like, "Michael, this car might not get another bid." And I was like, "Yeah, but there's like 23 bids on it, JP. This car's gonna have a really strong finish. It's just not gonna break $10,000. You were right. It was at like 7,300. It went to 7,500. I don't think it got another bid. Anyway, it sold at $7,500 because it was a no reserve auction. You were right. You won that one. And it broke my heart, because I would rather have that car than $7,500. I would have loved to have that. Even if it was just for a year, I would totally drive that car. Anyways, we're getting there. We'll work our way up to that. We also looked at the C63, the Mercedes Coupe, the Edition 507. I think you said Rami had this exact car. Mm-hmm. This one was a Mars red with 15 or 16,000 miles on it. I think it had 15,000 miles on a 2016 or vice versa. Really nice car. You've driven one. I've driven just a regular C63 that was older. This car has a better transmission. It's got a better, it's got better wheels and suspension, better brakes. This is, I mean, I drove like the 460 horsepower automatic transmission. So this is a better car. You said, Michael, it's probably sportier than you're giving it credit for, yeah. But it's still a muscle car. Anyway, I went 50 large. You said 49. A car sold for 49,251. Anytime our bids are close and the car, we straddle the selling price, I feel like we both won. But you get to notch that win. That was really good on your part. And then we looked at the, what else? The 1984 BMW 524 turbo diesel. I did skip a car. We'll get back to it. Sorry. I said 12 grand. You said 13. Our car only sold for 9,500. Like, this car is so nice. And it was on BAT and it was manual and it was super low miles. It's a freaking unicorn. The fact that it didn't break 10 grand, I feel like when this hammer fell, God killed the kitten. That's just awful. Like that to me should have been like a $16,000-$20,000 car. And I felt my bid was light, but there wasn't any evidence in the history of the auction to support that it was getting there. Anyway, I won that one, but I feel bad about it. The guy who bought it, I think, stole it. I really do. Yeah, that
was
a great
bargain
value.
Of the week for
unbelievable, sure. Unbelievable yeah. Value. What a rip. And I feel bad for the consigner. And then JP, I accidentally glazed over the car. You picked the 2010 BMW 328i Coupe. Remember, this was the metallic white M package with a manual red interior. So it's got M suspension, M seats. It's got M cladding and wheels, the whole package. This is the 328 is the normally aspirated 3 liter, inline six. It's not the forced induction. These are great driving cars and a pretty great value. Now, this auction was sort of languishing. I said 19, you said 19.5. Our car sold for 21.1. So it did break the 20 grand, but that's still a tremendous value for where it's at. Now, I know they're not expensive when they were new. I think it was in the low 40s. So for this car to be that old and still bring essentially 50% of its original value is strong. But when you consider the equipment and the condition of this car, it makes sense to me. I'm not surprised by that number. What about you?
I think it should have brought more money. I think
really,
I think these are really awesome cars. When I say should have brought more money, I mean I think the market should recognize how good this car is. But I don't think there's any chance that it ever will. There are so many automatic ones of these driving around that it will always hold the value of the manual ones down, because just in general, this is not an expensive. If this were the regular Steptronic thing, this is a $10,000 car, give or take a couple of grand. You know, so it really is double the money because you have to row through the gears and it has three pedals. But look at that steering wheel. Look at this interior. It's very Spartan in all the right ways. This is the BMW you want. You don't want the turbos. You don't want all the whiz-bang crap. You want one just like this in the sport version. I'm really jealous of whoever got this car. This would be a nice magnificent car. Aluminum, daily driver. Yeah.
Aluminum inlays, black carpets, red leather seats. The shifters tend to be a little long in BMWs, but I think when you get the M Sport package, it's a little bit shorter shift. Yeah. And if your mechanic can adjust your clutch pedal down, like take an inch or two out of the travel, you could really drive that car fast. It becomes sportier, even though all the DWA guys say BMW never made a sports car. Whatever.
Bias.
I gotta start teasing these guys as I'm gonna come down to the show, and then when I get down there to Santa Cruz, they can all shit all over me.
we're gonna go live, and it's just gonna be a brawl on.
Exactly. You're saying Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball? Up yours, Jobu.
All right. Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's get to it's time for the cars of the day. So hit that subscribe, like, notification button like we suggested earlier. Let's get through these cars pretty quick. We've got some really cool stuff.
We've been
chibber-chabbing
for an hour.
You can't go wrong with probably one of the best cars of all time. It seems like I say that on every show. This car is the best car of all time. And you know what? I think it actually is. A 993. I'm sorry, not a 993. Guys, if you're listening to this, know that I am an idiot. This is a 997 GT3 is what I meant to say.
There we go.
And, you know, I think you can forgive me on this one. A 993 GT3 would be the greatest car of all time, but they didn't make one.
This is a 2007 991.1 GT3.
We are so screwed today. This is not a 991.
997, yeah. See, I'm doing it wrong.
Both of us are doing it wrong. You've caught my disease. What the heck?
I'm reading it, and I'm reading it incorrectly, but I'm also blind.
We're slightly listextic on the show. Sorry about
that. Let's just go. It's from Ontario, Canada, and it's got 22,000 miles on it. It's black, and it has a Metzger engine. If this helps the viewers at home that aren't viewing, the radio people, it's got a 3.6-liter motor. So if you really know Porsches, then you know exactly what car we're talking about, because the .2s have 3.8s. But anyway, this car is triple black. It's got steel wheels. As you may remember, the .1s only came with the adaptive sport seats. You couldn't get carbon fiber racing buckets until the .2s. So this is a really sweet car. It comes with a standard interior, meaning that it's leather and Alcantara. So your shifter handle and your shift boot, as well as your steering wheel, are Alcantara. There were no cost options to switch them back to leather, but this one came the way Porsche had intended it. And 22,000 miles, as these cars continue to age, starts to look more and more like a lower mile example. I did not detect from the ad whether or not the lines have been pinned. I think those are the cooling lines on the Metzger engines. Both the turbos and the GT3s have faulty lines. And so pinning the lines is the sort of the upgrade to prevent those from leaking and giving you, you know, problems with the car. It's not if they should be done, it's when they get done. And I think if you do them right the first time, you only have to do them once. But there was no evidence to support that they had been done on this car. That being said, I'm not sure that I read every single word. So if you're interested, take a look. But this is a beautiful car. It's in nice condition. I love when the wheels are just silver. I'm kind of a little old-fashioned that way. I'm a bit of a purist. So the black car with bright silver wheels and the red brake calipers, these are six pistons in the front. This is a great little car, low miles. And they've been trending up. So last night our car was at $80,000, and this morning our car remains at $80,000. So JP, with 2.5 hours to go, you do have to bring it down from Canada. But this is a car that I would go through the trouble to import because it's not eligible for the 25-year exemption. It's too young for that. But if you could buy this car, I mean, let's presume for a minute that that importation is going to take you $7,000 or $8,000 to get it across the border. If these cars are now starting to bring $100,000 to $110,000, if you could pick up this one for 90, I think you're still in an equity position. It might be worth it. Is it going to be harder to sell a previously Canadian example in the marketplace down the road? Perhaps. But if you're going to keep this car for a while, who cares? I think they're still going to continue to appreciate. I think the really nice cars will rise to the top, and all the rest of the cars are going to fall away as we go towards electrification. So if you're going to have this car for 5-6 years, and there's going to be fewer and fewer gasoline cars on the road, a really nice, like a purist driving car, like a Metzger GT3, I think it's still a safe investment as well as a fantastic toy. So I can't say enough nice things about this, and it doesn't scare me that it comes from Canada. Would you agree with that sentiment, or do you have a different feeling about this one because it's up there?
I think it being in Canada is certainly going to affect the value, because you're right, getting into America is going to be costly, but I don't think it's going to affect the value down the road. Once it's in America, here,
yeah,
you're good to go.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go, oh, it was a Canada car, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Screw that. The thing that might make you gay say, I don't want this car, is the jerk who's driving it. Once again, what is wrong with you people? One hand on the steering wheel, leaving your hand on the shifter, makes you a tool. It makes you such a tool. And you're driving around in traffic, you're ripping through the gears, and you look at this jerk. I mean, he's in a there's driveways and people pulling out everywhere, and he's ripping through and rowing like he's some kind of gangster. Dude, you suck, okay? You don't deserve this car. I'm glad you're selling it because someone else would own it.
That's funny.
It is a great car, though. Man, I want this thing so bad.
It's got the JP package. It's black on black with a black wing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's hot. I know, I could see like the black Durr stickers on it all ghosted on the side. That'd be hot.
I missed that. So I had a 997S.
It looked like this.
Had the aero kit on it, and that's one of the cars I missed the most. Now, it wasn't a GT3, of course, which would have made it that much better, but this thing is pretty to look at, and it has all the poop to boot. Stop driving like a tool, you tool! Oh, man, I hate this guy.
We need a BitNerds graphic that's like a veto, a BitNerd fail that you can blast on these poor driving videos or poor photos. We'll have to work on that when we get an intern. But
if you're listening to this on a on an audio version, you can go down below and see links to all the cars that we talk about today. And in those links, when you go to this particular car, you can watch the driving video and just, you know, go on the forums and make, not the forums, but go on the comment section. Say you saw the car on Bid Nerds, and then make fun of the driver for driving like a tool. We really need to eradicate this type of behavior. This is just so bad. Anyways, this is a beautiful car, and I want it in a hard way. Where's it going to land?
So I'm just going to say, look, we're going to continue to offer our constructive criticism because we're the experts, even though we don't know anything. And I really feel like there's an opportunity for P-Car Market to just slightly, like, they can ask the leading questions that are going to help their buyers make informed decisions and put the appropriate values on these cars and alleviate grief in the moving forward. The fact that P-Car Market hasn't asked this consignor for a DME report or if the lines have been pinned, which are notable and, you know, they're consistent concerns amongst the entire valuation of these Metzger engine cars. It should be on here. And especially when we're dealing with a car that's not even on our shores, so to speak. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like that could be done. They could, hey, just tell me, call the guy and just say, hey, did you pin the lines? You know, did you do a DME report? Include those in the body of the thing or go on as a seller. Now, it could be in there and I missed it, but I just feel like that stuff should be up front. That to me is so relevant to these types of cars that it should be in the first paragraph, and we shouldn't have to go searching for it through the body of the ad. That being said, if I was really a player for this car, I'd probably read every single word involved. So I don't know. It just seems kind of frustrating. JP, I don't know. It's so hard to understand where the value of this car is going to come in. I put 94 grand, but I don't think that's a good number. I'm going to say 90 grand and leave it that if it goes to 90 and it sells for 90, it's still a good value. Somebody could overpay for it at 94. I just don't think it's going to happen. It's only on 3 bids at 80 grand and it didn't get a bid overnight. So it, you know, the smart money might be that it's not going to get another bid. I don't know. And maybe they didn't answer those questions and that's why it's not going anywhere. Who knows? We'll see.
What was the miles on this car again? I'm sorry.
It's 37,000 kilometers, which equates to about 23,000 miles.
Yeah. I'm going to take your bid. I'm going to say 94. If we're in America, this that's is what it's easily worth. I mean, I think it's a $115,000 car, maybe close to 120. Because I mean,
two years ago, you could have bought a GT3 RS with 32,000 miles for 120. I mean, the market is just skyrocketing. So fair play.
Boy, beautiful car. All right, what else we got?
I could totally see you rocking that car, by the way. Just if you had to have one 911 or one Porsche in your life, I could see it being that car right there, and you would drive it everywhere.
Everywhere, all the time. AC work.
Everywhere, yeah. No front protection film because patina is cool.
Dirt don't slow you down, right? Not a rock chips. Nope. All right, let's talk about the other car on P-Car Market. This thing is pretty interesting and also beautiful,
So you know how cars, when you're a car guy, when you look at a car, no matter what, you have an emotional response to it. Like, some people will look at it and be like, oh, that's a pretty color. I look at this car and it pisses me off because somebody took, what we're looking at, JP, is a 1994 Porsche 964 Carrera 4 wide body with a custom back date. And it bothers me because they only made like 200 C4 wide bodies and somebody chopped one up. This was a black on black wide body with high miles. And I would rather have that car than this car because all this guy did was try to make a replica Singer. And while some people might look at it and say, wow, he did a really nice job, I look at it and say, it looks like a replica Singer. So I don't think anybody that really knows cars would ever mistake this for a Singer. Singer forms their own fenders. These are clearly 964 fenders, turbo fenders. They're not Singer fenders. And then when you look at all the trim pieces around it, it's just not a Singer. So like, why ruin a beautiful low production model from Porsche and create something that looks like something else? This lot upsets me. It arrests my sensibilities. And despite my being absolutely in love with the sort of powder blue paint scheme, this car and this whoever did this to this car, I think should be hung up by their toenails. And so I didn't really read into it. It's you know, I think the drivetrain is basically stock. They clearly spent a bunch of money on the bodywork and the interior. And I don't think the finished product justifies the investment spent. This car pisses me off. I can understand why some people like it and I'm okay with them liking that. Maybe that's a liberal sensibility, but me personally, I hate this car. So you can have it.
I'm with you. This thing kind of look, a fake Rolex tells time just as well as a real one for the most part. But you would never take a real, you know, if you guys know watches out there, I mean, you would never take a Submariner and like take it apart and put a, and try to put a Daytona face on it or something on it. Like that. I mean, that would just be the dumbest thing in the world to do. I couldn't agree with you more.
Partners.
It would be very, if you're going to take, I mean, I get, okay, it was a 964 and it was high miles. Well, you're absolutely right. A wide body 964, body 964 is so much cooler than this. You look at this thing and you go, oh, Singer, wait, no, something's weird about it. It doesn't look right. Most fake Rolexes look more like a Rolex than this car looks like a Singer. All right. It's just, it's weird. This looks like a really bad fake. You know, the fenders are too wide. Everything's just like, what's going on here? What's happening? And you could have done that. Now, if you had started with a regular 964, a narrow body one, or, you know, that was all beat up or whatever. But I just, I'm so done with people trying to be Singer. Oh, it's just like a Singer. Oh, we're making a Singer replica. Oh, we're doing a Singer thing. It's like, no, you're not. Stop it. Stop it. Just don't even say those words. And if you're going to choose their color, one of their colors, you're just screaming wannabe. And let's face it, this is a magnificent car. This thing is awesome.
Ways. But if you punch ahead in the photos, there are three pictures of the black donor car. So if you just punch ahead in the photos, you'll get to three consecutive in the shop bad cell phone photos of the black 964 that they chopped up, including the interior, to make this car. And when you look at that car, it'll just piss you off. You're like, why did they do that to that poor, beautiful 964 wide body? It's gorgeous. It's on cups. Silver, black interior. I mean, it's the car you and I would absolutely look at that thing. Look at
what
that thing.
What is wrong with you, idiot?
They hurt that car. They hurt that car to make that bitch basket wannabe Singer. And I just, I think that guy, if he's a member of the PCA, they should revoke his membership. They should 86 him from all the parts counters across the country. I mean, I'm serious. Like, this guy, whoever did that to that car, is a fool, and I cannot get behind this piece of shit that he built trying to look like something he's not. He can't afford a Singer, but I made a fake Singer. It's like,
well, he has to sell the car now because he's turning that Mira in the background into a Countach.
Yeah, exactly. Or a Yurako, even worse. But anyway, whatever. I don't like this. This doesn't make sense to me. I get you want to have your car, but like, dude, you could have done that to like just a you know, an 89 with an automatic. You could have built this car out of that.
Where is this poor abused puppy gonna land?
It's at $150,000 with 2 hours and 17 minutes, and it's offered out of, JP, give me just a second, Richmond Hill, Ontario, Canada. So it's up across the border. I assume it was done up there, but I don't really know.
Do you buy this car and convert it back?
Tell you what, the way the values of 964s are going, it might almost pencil, which is crazy to think. I wonder if he kept all the original parts or if he was just such an, like, if he traded all the interior parts for these fake Fuchs. Like, I just don't get it, man.
He had to cut up the fenders and, you know, to put those backdated. Look, all right, I'm with you. All right, I'm out. What's the number?
So believe it or not, last night the car was at $132,000 on 27 bids. So as it's currently on, let me read it to you again, JP, the 150 grand, because it got bids overnight, it's on 30 bids. This car is eligible for importation into the United States on the 25-year exemption. So this car comes in pretty easily, which I think is part of the valuation here. It pains me to say this, but just guessing where I think it's going to land, I'm going to say this car brings $165,000. The question is this eccentric F-bomb, does he think that's enough money for his Frankenstein? I don't know. The car does have 132,000 miles on it. I'm guessing most of those were put on the wide body, and that's why he chopped it up. But at 165, let's say it gets to my number, I don't know if it sells there or not. I wouldn't be surprised if that's an FTS at 165. And I just wanted to say that before I hand it over to you. What do you think is going to happen here in Canada?
What do you think it costs to do the conversion? What would be your guess if you had to guess?
So paint job, seats, door cards, and then the wheels and the aprons. I actually think he did it, JP. I think he did it for like 40 grand. And because he did it with like a 100,000 mile 964, I don't think his car. I think
a lot more than $40,000 to do this. Is this the stock powertrain too? That you didn't change.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. I don't think so. I don't know for sure, but I think it's a stock powertrain.
Here's the funny thing. I think that he could have left it alone, not done a dang thing to it, and sold the car for $165,000. A wide body 964. I mean, those are absurd.
Not a 100,000 mile one. Yeah. If the car had 36,000 miles on it, that'd be $140,000-$150,000 car. But at 132,000 miles on it, no, I think it would have been a $95,000 car, maybe $110,000 car. It was black on black, which is sweet. And wide bodies, JP, they made like 200 or something
C2
of them. They're
or C4.
Amazing cars. They only came C4 wide body. To get the wide body, C4, it had to be four wheel drive. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But you know as well as anybody, you could drop that diff and now you got a wide body rear wheel drive car. That's a hot car. I mean, and I don't know if he did that here or not. I don't know if it remains an all wheel drive. But when I just looked at it, it's such a poor execution of a replica Singer, and the donor car was so nice, it clearly pissed me off.
What was the what was your number?
165. 165. I think it's gonna go another $15,000 bucks. Yeah, right. Yeah. 2 hours plus.
Some wannabe fool will buy this. I'm gonna say 170. It's just such a terrible car. It's such an awesome car and terrible at the same time. That's what sucks about it.
They ruined a great car to make a like average car, like just a poor execution of something. It's not.
All right, moving on. Let's cleanse the palate.
You know, it'd be really funny. It'd be really funny is if somebody bought that car and then gave it to Singer to make a real Singer out of it. That would be hilarious.
Right?
That would be hilarious. Yeah. And they called it the Ontario card with a winky emoji.
Oh, man, I love it. Just ditch all the dumb stuff the guy did. Let's go off-road. Justice. Let's get in the dirt.
So,
muddy.
JP, I wanted to ask you why on earth you're bothering the nerd herd with this ordinary 2003 Land Rover Disco 2, Discovery 2. This is just – I couldn't find anything special about our 129,000-mile example of a Disco 2 outside of the fact that it's from Beaverton, Oregon. And I know you love the Pacific Northwest, you Sasquatch believer, you. it's a no-reserve auction, but I didn't see anything special. It doesn't have a stick. It's not right-hand drive. It's not a trophy car. It doesn't even have an all-black interior. It does look to be navy blue, which I tend to believe you personally detest. But it's a fair, clean example of a car. It doesn't look beat up. It doesn't have off-road mods. You know, we've seen quite a few of them where they've gone knobby high-wall tires with, you know, brush guards and winches and things like that. But this seems to be – this is like the shopping mall version. This is the Newport Beach yoga mom – extramarital affair example. So what's going on here? Why did we pick this car? I'm just curious, you know?
Well, I mean, all those things that you listed are correct. This is pretty much as, I mean, it's a nice rig. There's nothing wrong. This would be a fun, you know, I love discos. I've always said it, but, 129,000 miles. And where is it at right now? Like what's the bid at this point?
So I was going to say to you when I got to talk again, I mean, JP, this is a $7,000 car, but it's a no reserve auction on BAT. And with an hour to go, it's already up to $7,800 on a whopping, I'm using my monocle again because I can't see. It's 18 bids. So it's got a little bit of love. It's definitely clean
it's
for the
not
age and the
miles. $7,000 car. This is a $3,500 to $4,000 car, or at least was 6 months ago. And that's why I wanted to talk about this car, because these are hunks of crap. I did not read the ad very well. So I don't know. Have the head gaskets been updated on this thing? If they haven't, they will need to be. And the thing is, when the head gaskets fail, it'll warp the whole entire engine and you have to replace it. You can't rebuild it. It will destroy the engine.
So what they did, JP, and it's hard for me to read, forgive me, because I'm like wearing two pairs of glasses, but the car, I know I'm talking not into the microphone, so here, come with me. It's essentially, they did the head gaskets, the transmission cylinder heads were rebuilt in 2021. Head gaskets, timing chain assembly, water pump, radiator, exhaust manifolds were all replaced under current ownership. So all that stuff that you are cautionary about, it's all been done this year in preparation for this car coming to marketplace. So it's clean, it's unmolested, and all the services and necessary maintenance is up to date. And then clearly, these vintage SUVs are somewhat on the rise in what is currently a strong market. So, at $7,000, $7,800, that's all the money, and there's an hour to go.
Yeah, look at this list of stuff that the guy has had done. He's got, you know,
there it is,
$9,800 worth of crap that he had to do these things. And I think, you know, again, that's why I wanted to bring this car up. It's like, you see these, you see the values going up, and, you know, some jerk off is going to watch this auction, and he's going to have one with 129,000 miles, and he's going to be like, oh, I could get $9,000 for it. I'm going to put it up for sale. This one at least has had all the stuff done, and should be reliable for another, I don't know, call it 6 months, maybe 12. You know, did they list the, I mean, it's, this is, they're oh just God, junk. Yeah. They are so fantastic, seriously, when they work. One thing that's very interesting about this car, the last generation of the Disco, the original Disco, the 03s and 04s had a slightly bigger motor than the version
4.6.
Yeah, but they also had, they all had lockers, but weirdly enough, you couldn't like, it didn't come with a diff lock. It was in the transmission, but in order to access it, you have to actually put a separate aftermarket, you have to drill a hole in the dash, in the thing, and put a lever there to initiate the diff. It's like, what the heck, you guys?
But it is in there. JP.
It is in there.
That's so British. That's so fucking British. It's ridiculous. Yeah. That's so ridiculous.
They had it in the European versions or something, but not the American ones. They just didn't. These are formidable off road. They are incredibly, you know, they're just super smooth and wonderful to drive. Having all that canopy, I say how terrible they are as far as reliability, and for the most part, they are. But I've owned them and had pretty good luck. This is one of the few brand new cars I had. I leased one back in 2003 or whatever, and you know, gave it back to the dealer as soon as the warranty was up. But I've had them subsequently, and again, they've been all right. My wife has banned me from owning them, though, because they can be terribly, terribly problematic. And they are a truck.
She's so pragmatic. It's brilliant. Like, nope. I mean, that is absolutely smart. Yeah.
She'll let me buy just about anything. This is not one of them. Where do we think this car is going to land? It's only got a little while to go, right?
Yeah, I mean, JP, it was at 7,200 on 14 bids last night. It's at 7,800 on 18 bids this morning. I put last night $8,500. I still think that's a pretty good guess, and you know, relatively high watermark for what the car is. I think it has a chance to get there. Let's go. It's no reserve. It's on BAT, and there's action. So 8,500 to you, partner.
I think these are coming up. Having the maintenance is definitely going to help it. One thing I actually like, I hate to admit this, but again, if you're listening, you'll have to look at the pictures. Underneath, so it's got the Euro markers on the front fenders, in the front wheel. They've got the little Euro light marker. Directly below that, the owner of this car has taken the R from a Rover script and put that directly underneath the little marker light. It actually looks kind of cool. I hate to admit it. It looks kind of cool. It's like, yeah, that's a good idea. If I had one of these, I would do that. Is that going to bring extra money? No, nobody's going to even notice or care. But I am going to say this car is going to go $99.99. I think this is going to get very close to 10 grand.
You off your meds this morning. 10 grand for a Disco? JP,
it's not worth that, but someone's going to pay it. No. I mean, that's what it is. Crazy, 99, 99. Crazy world we live in. All right, what else we got? Yeah.
All right, what else you want? Oh, I picked a car for you.
Yeah.
Check this thing out. How's this for the Vegas trip? Tell me you couldn't Turo this car, JP. I'm making money for you, bro. Oh, okay. 1965 Volkswagen Karmann Ghia convertible. Now, look, there's Ghias everywhere, and this one probably, I think they mentioned it has like rusted floor plans. It's not a perfect example, but get a load of the black paint job. All the chrome pieces are there. It's got dog dishes and white wall tires, a nice convertible top. It's got the ivory steering wheel with the Wolfsburg logo in the middle, the original like big wheel, and it's got red interior. I know it's not leather, it's probably vinyl, but from a colorway standpoint, from an eyeball standpoint, this is a really cool car. It's a 1300cc air-cooled flat four with a four-speed manual. It needs some work. But look, if you put the money into this thing, that paint job doesn't look too bad. Those panel gaps are not offending me at all. And everything is there for a 60s version of the Ghia. I think this is a great value. I think this car is going to come in well under 20 grand. And if you were to go ahead and spend the money and do the floor plans and whatever else, maybe, you know, refresh it or something. I do think they did a tune-up on the car, and I think they cleaned the carburetor. But like, if you put two carbs on this thing, or even dropped a, you know, a type 4 motor in there, whatever the whatever the hot setup is for one of these, I think this is a lot of car to love. And you know, that's a great value under 20 grand. I mean, look at the lines on this Italian bodied Volkswagen. This is, I have a huge soft spot in my heart for Ghias. And this one is a, like, if you had to have a convertible instead of the coupe, I think this is the one I would absolutely go for, JP. This car, you could have my money, and I would take this car almost any day. What do you think? Do you love this thing as much as I do? I think this thing is hot.
I love these cars. I don't love this one. It is really rough. This has lots of Bondo. It is a 10-footer or maybe a 20-footer, and I appreciate the honest pictures here showing a lot of close-ups. This has just got more orange peel than the citrus section. This is the clone of our friend Chef, William Fershing, you know, the founder of Vegas Auto Fest coming up on September 18th.
What's up,
he
Chef?
He has a perfect version of this car. I mean, his car is immaculate. This car is not. If you want a cheap version of this car, look, it has the eyeball driving down the road. I think is great. This is you could just beat the crap out of it.
I think you'd get a lot of thumbs up and honks, right? Would you say don't buy a thing if you don't like meeting people? Is that your vernacular?
It's, you know, another thing about this car too, it's like the Ghia, I'm with you on the convertible Ghia thing. It's an interesting car in an interesting space because so many people are spending a lot of money on replica 356s, and 356 replicas are going for 30, 40, sometimes 60, depending on who made them and what kind of condition. You know, if something like this is down there in the teens, do you get a real Ghia or a replica Porsche? You know, depending on the car,
I tell you, JP, even as rough as this car is, I'd love to buy this car, do the work, like try to omit a lot of that Bondo, change the floors on it, and then put a 2.2 or 2.4 liter motor in there with a couple of Delortos, and then drive the snot out of it. I think it'd be
I don't think that pencils out, though. I think by the time you do all that stuff, you could have just bought one that was nice in the first place. This car is gone. I mean, there's no making the body really not. I mean, it's not impossible, but gonna be,
it doesn't make sense. And listen, you're probably right. I am so pie in the sky, but when I see one that looks good, that's the one I want. It's so hard for me to look at a car and be like, well, I can make that into the car I want. Although I'm looking at that Carrera, I'm telling you, I'm looking at that Carrera back east.
Anyways. Okay. So, where's this going to land?
All right, JP. So our car is in, I was so excited. I glazed right over it. It's in Morrisville, Pennsylvania. It's true mileage unknown. I gave you the specs. It's a 1300 cc with a 4-speed manual. It's a 65 Ghia convertible. It's at $9,800 with 3.5 hours to go. You know, listen, if you live on the West Coast, are you driving this thing across the country? No effing way. So you're talking about shipping this car. I think that limits the thing. I don't even think this car is getting a lot of action. Let me just scroll for a second. JP, it is on only 10 bids. So last night I wrote $14,000 when it was at $8,800. Is this thing going to get to a 10 grand? I'm going to say $11,000, but that's iffy at best. So where are you at? Do you think it's going to break 10 or
it'll break 10, but not much. This car, I think, oddly enough, would do better on the local Craigslist or OfferUp or Marketplace or something like that, because this is someone local should buy this. You know, if you could swing
should it be
there,
on Samba?
Yeah, maybe.
Or is Samba too educated and they wouldn't pay for it? They wouldn't buy the white wall tires and the coat of wax and just be like, no, that car's a rust bucket.
I don't mind the white walls. It's just everything else that I don't like. Yeah, no, it. Where's it at now? I'm sorry.
JP, it's at. I know we're all over the place this morning. I'm sorry. It's $9,800.
Yeah, and you said 11.
I went from 14 down to 11.
Yeah, I'll go over. I'll bet the 12. I think one of us is going to be right. One of us might get a Yahtzee in this one. Just depends on who gets a little romantic on this. I didn't look. Is there a driving video? I didn't even check.
No.
You know, I should have.
No, there's not.
There's not. There's not. And you know what? That's the way you get $15,000 for this car, is have a proper driving video, because
with the top down.
Yeah, having the top down on a wherever this car is.
Driving video.
I was going to go, what in the world is that noise for everybody?
I mean, not
watching
a driving video. It's just the engine.
Played the engine video there, and it sounded like he was bowling in his apartment there. this video, this car, you have to put the top down. You have to have a great driving video where you're just cruising along on a Pennsylvania farm road. You can have way more fun than $12,000 would buy you and anything else.
Yeah.
This thing, yeah, could be a great time, but just not going to be a perfect car. And if you know that going in, hey, this could be a really fun thing to own. All right. Let's see here.
It was at $8,800 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Somebody put a bid overnight of $1,000. I wondered if that winds up being a knockout blow. Like it could just be.
Or the owner having his friend put that in there to just kind of go, all right, let's juice this thing, or I don't want to sell it for this thing.
We have to stop endorsing that because then more and more people are going to start doing it. And
we are not brilliant. We are not original. Trust me, everyone else knows that's what's going on. I mean, let's be honest here.
All right, JP, last car. Here's one for Radwood. Mm-hmm. Get Matt Weitzel on the phone. It's in British Columbia, Canada. So I think he could just walk across the border and pick up this car for Radwood. Mm-hmm. It's a 1987 Honda CRX SI. The ad says it's a 1.5 liter, but I have it on good authority that that's 1.59 liters, which means it's a 1.6. So the ad is written incorrectly. And that kind of shit on BAT is unacceptable. I mean, you guys are supposed to be the gold standard. I'm positive it's a 1.6. But anyway, showing 93,000 kilometers, which is only 58,000 original miles, again, out of Richmond, British Columbia, in Canada, is this just beautiful CRX. Look at the condition of the cloth seats. I love the black on dark gray. These cars were fun. They were not amazing, but they were fun. And they represent an era. John, in 1987, I was in high school, you know, just like, you know, all I could think about was girls and cars. So, I mean, not much has changed, but this is when it all began for me. And CRX was, you know, something that was, even a CRX was like out of reach, you know, like they were new cars. So like, yeah. I'm not getting a new car. I wasn't even getting a car. I had to get good grades like first. So anyway, this is just a neat car. They are fun to drive. And you don't see them in this low mile original condition. I actually think wherever this lands, if this guy brought it in and brought it back to market, he could probably make $6,000 on it, wherever it lands. But with that being said, JP, our car has under 2 hours to go and it's at $15,000. It has gotten a little bit of action overnight. So what do you think of the CRX SI? Is that worth the investment or no?
It's funny being from this era like you. I mean, we can remember when these cars were new or just, you know, there were used ones on the market when I was out shopping for a car, my first real car in 1989. I mean, not my first car, but, you know, I had a little bit of money saved up and I was like, okay, am I going to? I very easily could have gotten one of these. Instead, I wound up getting a Scirocco. And it's funny.
Yeah. Volkswagen.
The trajectory that sets you in. Because had I wound up in the CRX, which was the nicer car and it was significantly more expensive than the Scirocco, I would have been one of those stupid JDM kids. And I would have, you know, gotten the wheels and lowered it and done all those things. But instead, I wound up with a Volkswagen. I wound up being a Volkswagen dirtbag.
How many 911? Do you think you've owned?
Oh man, I don't.
Just put a number. 2 dozen.
Yeah, at least a dozen or two.
So you would have owned 2 dozen S2000s by now. Right.
Yeah, it's true. And these really do drive nice. I mean, there's something about Honda reliability and being sporty at the same time. This is just, you know, that low dashboard that this era of Honda's had was just like, it was just such a great place to be. I can smell this car. I remember the way the 80s Hondas smelled. It was like
cloth seats.
So distinctive.
They were nice.
Yeah.
They're really nice seats. Those bolsters were big, but they weren't firm. So they didn't really hold you in place. But when you got in the car, when you looked in the car, it looked like a sporty car. It was there was just a degree of occasion or excitement to getting in like these little sporty cars. And they're super easy to drive. When we were really learning how to drive a stick, if somebody said, here, drive my Civic, you could it was like the first car you could get in and drive and not even think about. And that's a big deal. Like I grew up in San Francisco. So if you're driving across the city, you're hills and stop signs and traffic all around you. And you could drive this car like you owned it, even if you just your friend let you drive it for an hour. I mean, it was just they were really fun. You felt like you felt like you were a better driver than you really were. I do have spot. Like I like these things. I think they're neat.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you hit the big lottery or something like that, and you're filling the warehouse full of all the cars, you know, there's going to be all kinds of cool exotics and Porsches and stuff like that. But there's definitely going to be a corner somewhere where you're going to have this park next to your 16-valve Scirocco. I mean, this is you have to have one of these if you're an 80s kid. Wow, big money for it though. It's sitting at 15 grand already.
13
right? grand. Jeez. I mean, can you imagine? Can you believe that?
No.
Finding
a clean
one of these is
It was 12,000 last night, JP, and it's up to 15 grand. So I put my bid at 17, but I got 2 hours to go. I think it's going to beat that now that you pointed that out. So I'm going to change my bid, JP, from 17 to 19 and send it back to you. I still don't think this is a $20,000 car, only because it's in Canada. And this is what I mean, that if somebody, say somebody buys it for 19 and brings it across, I think they can sell this car for 25, 26, 27, especially if they bring it to Radwood.
How many miles does this car have on it again?
It's 58,000 original miles.
Gosh,
it's 93,000 kilometers.
I'm going 20. This car is definitely going to break.
You are going to break 20. Look at you.
Yeah, I think this thing brings.
Reckless bid.
I think this thing brings. I'll say 19, but I mean, I'm sorry. I'll say 20, but I think it gets into the 20s. It'll be interesting to see how close to 25 this thing gets.
And if it does, if somebody pays 25 and is bringing it across, so they're in at 30 with tax and importation and whatnot, that guy's keeping that car for a while. He ain't selling it.
Another guy driving horribly, though. Come on, dude.
He's a Canadian.
A Canadian JDM guy. Dude.
Do they sell, JP, because you live closer to the border than I do. I really don't know anything. Like, when you go into a truck stop gas station and they sell air fresheners at the register, are they come in like moose scent and maple scent? Is that a real thing? Like, is that, or am I just making that up? Is there one that smells like a dirty locker room at an hockey rink? Is that what the air freshener smell like?
Okay, Solomon. Shout out to our good friend Solomon with the dad jokes. You're not even a dad yet, and you're making and dropping them like you've got
fun
kids
trying
or something like that. I totally knock this guy for his driving, and he's awful. But the thing I'm really liking about this particular video, this is, oh my God. I mean, you and I have owned a lot of cars over the years and probably test driven.
Is,
I don't know how
is
many
he showing us
of
the
them.
Turning circle?
No, he's doing something that this is every front wheel drive car you have to do. And I don't know how many test drives I've been in and where the owner is sitting in the passenger seat and they're looking at me going, what the hell are you doing? Right?
Yeah.
You have to go full lock to full lock and do a loop to test the CV joints. The CV joint, the CV bearings, the CVs, you know, it's very common for these. The CV joints, those bearings, if the boots crack, the grease leaks out of them and they go bad
and you
can't tell they're bad unless you're full one way or the other.
Lock.
They'll go click, 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 click. And I can't tell you how many times I've done that and the car's gone click, 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 going around the corner and the owner's like, what's that? I'm like, oh, your CV joints are bad. And that's, you know, $300 a side. So, there's one on each that your drive shafts need to replace. So that's funny. That's bringing me back. So, all right. That makes up for your horrible, horrible
redemption.
Driving, dude.
Bitter redemption.
This guy has a great haircut, but terrible, terrible driving. Where is this? We already went over how much we thought this car was.
Yeah, 19 and 20.
That's it, right? We're done with the show.
Jeez, what are you doing still doing here?
Why are you people still
here? The movie's
here?
Over. Go home. Yeah.
All right, guys. See us at Radwood coming up on the 10th of July. Make sure you hit the subscribe, like, and notification button.
It's not even July yet. Why are we talking about that?
It's coming very soon. Check out our sponsor, Guys Customs. That's GYX_customs bracelets on the Instagram. You can order your bespoke bracelet there. And then check out Porsche Road Trip on Chassis TV. That's Adam Carolla's network. Network on Pluto. We have a television show on that network called Porsche Road Trip, and you can binge watch the whole first season. So please do that. And then if you
haven't checked it out, you owe it to yourself to go on and watch an episode, because if you do, you'll love it. Please check out Porsche Road Trip. It's awesome.
Thanks, Michael. And if you watch the show and you're like, man, I need more, and you can't wait till the second season, go to Defrostination on the YouTubes. There's a bunch of videos there as well. We really appreciate you guys. Go to the auction platforms. Go to Bring a Trailer. Go to Cars and Bids. Go to P Car Market in the comments below. Mention that you're part of the Nerd Herd, and let's get some more nerds over here joining us every day, Monday through Friday. Bid Nerds, your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars of the day on all the automotive enthusiast auction sites. We will see you guys tomorrow. Nerds!